Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And I'd like to just turn there if I can find it. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same. First Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So when you come to that cross, when you come to him and you say, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Become my Lord and Savior. And you take on that name. You take on his will. You're saying, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. You know, for the apostles, what did that look like for the apostles? How many times Paul was stoned? Many times. Peter was shut up in prison many times. But what did the Lord deliver them? Every time. Some of the prophets were killed for his name's sake. But they had a hope in him for a better kingdom, a better life. Not this one, but eternal life in Jesus Christ in heaven. And if we're going to be his disciple, we have to really get down to the truth of ourselves and say, okay, Lord, whatever it takes, I will seek you first in your righteousness, because mine's worthless. We all know that. Seek you first in your righteousness, and I'm not going to worry about the rest. You're going to take care of me. Even if I die, look, praise God. You're doing the will of God and you die doing it. Praise the Lord. You're going to go be with him. Amen. What does it scripture talk about? Don't fear man that can kill the body, but fear him that can kill the body and the soul. And that is so true. And yet we walk around sometimes so much fearing other things and not God. But if we're truly going to be effective for the Lord, we're going to count the cost. We're going to count the cost. So let's go back to Luke 14. is where. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold and begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth the conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, that's a lot said. I want more cord, but praise God. I will. But praise God. But, you know, when we look at the crux of things, of how many times we easily get offended, or how many times we don't want to give this thing up, or how many times we prefer ourselves and our own lust before the Lord. You know, whatever that is that you put before the Lord is your idol. And don't think you can be his disciple when you walk around with these idols in front of him. It's not going to happen. A lot of times we put that idol off to the shelf and then we grab it back down again. But the Lord gave his own life to pay the price for you, which you were the one spitting on him at the, on his face and walking in rebellion on this earth. He wants you to be putting him first before all things. And guess what? He loves you. We've talked about this a little bit last week. Why do we serve this sinful flesh that wants to drag your butt to hell instead of serving the one who laid down his life for you? And this hit me like a ton of bricks this morning. I don't know why, but it did. But I know there's a lot of things in here that I have to work on. There's a lot of stuff that I need to throw down, cast out. Break down those idols that come before him and say, okay, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. I'm your servant, and you're my Lord and God, and you're good. And he is good. And if anybody in here hasn't tried the Lord and said, okay, Lord, I'll trust you. I'm scared. Here's my heart. Here's my life. I'm put in your hands and I'm scared. It scares the snot out of me, but here you go. I'm going to trust you. And watch him move. And watch him move. He didn't die on that cross for no reason, guys. He died on that cross so that you can have a way to be with him for eternity. And live in love and life everlasting. That's why he did it. That's why he did it. So let's take that gift that he has given us. And let's take it in our heart and let's run with it. And say, Lord, here you go. Here's my life. And let me tell you, I'd rather be in his hands than the hands of my own self or the hands of Satan or whoever else's hands. I'd rather be in his hands. He's the one that spoke things in existence. Not anybody else. And he's full of love. Or he wouldn't have died for you. So let's just take our life and say, here you go, Lord. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to learn to love you. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy paths. I'll seek you. Seek you first. And I ain't going to worry about the rest of this stuff. Amen? All right. I'm done. Thanks for listening.
Well, we actually got some of that. And that was a good thing. That's one of the things that's a prerequisite to being up here. Stuff starts to fall all over the place. I heard a preacher yesterday, and I have to tell you, from the tenor of his discourse, I have to say that he assumes everybody that's in his church has a relationship with God, and given the scriptures he was quoting, he assumed they were all apostles. It was Whitney Houston's funeral. 1,600 people in there, and I don't think so. Just you know, pick a crowd of 1,600 people, and I'm just saying. Anyhow, too much time on my hands or something. But he said, you know, for every good thing he said, he probably said 15 or 20 just whacked out, off, right out of context with no substance to it. And the funny thing is, after he was done, there was no indication that he had ever presented a gospel message, and he kept threatening, now I'm going to start preaching. Now I'm going to start preaching. And it's like, I don't know. But this, you know, faith that everybody knows about, especially when they come into a church with banners and such, it may be available to all those people. Doesn't mean everybody in there has received or believed any of the gospel message. And he was talking about the, well, brother, I can't receive a prosperity gospel. And he says, anybody in here want to be the one that volunteers to be the poverty-stricken, homeless bum that I don't see any hands? With no apparent understanding that the prosperity that you're guaranteed is when you're seeking Him first and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The 14:26 in Luke. Unless a man come to me and deny himself, and hate not father, mother, sister, brother, he is not fit to be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple, it says. And in Mark 10, it adds to that. Because the disciples say, well, Lord, we've done all this. What's the deal? And he says, there's not anyone who has forsaken father, mother, sister, brother, yea, even his own life, that will not receive more than 100-fold in the here and now and in the kingdom to come. But you have to start with believing His Word. And I just have a couple of, I don't know where it's going to go, but we talked about a little bit last night, you know, some of the awesome promises and challenges in James 4. And submit yourself. But he give. Do you think that the Spirit lust, saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But, and here's the good news, He gives more grace. Wherefore He said, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In Paul in Romans, when he's talking about the gospel that God has entrusted to him, he says, I am a debtor both to the, the barbarians? Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Whichever side of that you fit in, whether you're Greek or a barbarian, whether you're wise or whether you're unwise. But I understand I owe you the gospel. That's how he's a debtor. And he esteemed himself as the least of all men. God gives grace to the humble. Not only that, he puts the gospel message in your lips. And everything you do from that place is to His glory. Anything that works well is because He's good. Anybody who prospers from that word is prospering because He is good. And because they're set, their faces like flint toward the goal of choosing to change what pleases them to that which pleases the Father. Set your affections on things that are above. Choose. These are things, these are choices you make. And if you don't make those things, all the operation of the stuff that this guy was talking about, it's nice that it's in there, but it doesn't mean anything to you. You don't know what it's about. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, that means, first off, you need to believe the word. Secondly, you need to know what it is. How do you do it? How do you become a doer of it? Well, on a fundamental level, you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. If you start trying to do that, you're not going to have time to do the deeds of the flesh. That's a full-time job. And we had Romans 1. Now let me go to Matthew 7. How are we doing back there? That's not what I mean. Okay. Matthew 7:24. This is the end of that famous passage where these... I'll read the whole passage. Well, I'll read the whole passage as pertaining to the subject. Not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You need to know the will of the Father. You need to believe he intends for you to do it. Pleasing him. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the issue appears to be, if they're workers of iniquity, they were doing this stuff to glorify themselves and not to please the Father. And James, you know, James also says, you believe God is one. Pray, well, that's just great. The devil believe also and tremble. So, just believing he is isn't really good enough. If the devils believe that too, that's no consolation to you. There is no comfort in that. That's why it means something when he says, be doers of the word. He doesn't take issue with them that they're lying. You never did any of this. He doesn't say that at all, does he? What he says is, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You weren't doing these things for me. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity is pride. When you can take and go, all right, all this stuff, Lord, is yours. I'm done with it. I'm done directing it. I'm done controlling it. It's yours. And let him reconstruct your life in a manner that pleases and serves him. That's an act of absolute abandoned faith. You've just tossed it all on him and let him reconstruct your life the way pleases him. Then you have a shot of being doers of the word. Then you have a shot of receiving, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you, and you get covered in his righteousness. And how good is that? Thank you. 7:23, depart from them, I never knew you. Therefore, 24, whosoever heareth these things, these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You got to hear his sayings. You have to receive them. Then you have to do them. That's not works righteousness. That's learning how to please the Father. Because this is important. If it wasn't important, Paul wouldn't talk about it, James wouldn't talk about it, Peter wouldn't talk about it, Jesus wouldn't talk about it, have all these witnesses all saying the same thing. It might be serious, might be kind of important to get. Because the rains ascended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The deal here is that comes to everybody. Where's your foundation? What are you seeking? You seeking your glory or your ministry's glory or your pastor's glory, or who knows? Are you seeking the Lord, to glorify the Lord? Are you seeking to please the Lord? The gospel that comes out of my mouth is to glorify and honor Him. And somebody out there may receive it. And praise God. And glory to God for that. He's good. If they don't receive it, that doesn't change. It's praise and glory to God, and He's good. But you can't factor out free will. And that's what all this is about. It's free will. You take your hands off and you say, "Art Lord, I'm done. This is a tank. I cannot continue. It's tanking. I need you to reconstruct everything in my life that doesn't please you. And everything that came close, but didn't hit the mark. I give it all to you." And that point in James 4, all over the Bible today, great. Makes it really easy to bookmark, right? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He said, "God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble." That's the starting point. That's the hand. I'm done. Hands up in the air. I'm done. I made a mess. I haven't pleased you. I repent. Forgive me, Lord. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, how do you resist the devil? By what you put your hands to do. By what you set your mind to have affection on, by seeking Him first. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. How great is that? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. These are your deeds. What are you doing? Are you trying to justify yourself? Gain glory to yourself? Or are you trying to serve and please and honor the Heavenly Father? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts of what? Unbelief. That is the major place of struggle and warfare in all of us. It's the struggle to overcome unbelief. To doubt the doubt. How many times a day does doubt enter your mind? You got to rebuke it. You got to jump up and say, I refuse to receive that. I doubt the doubt. single-minded or trying to hang in the kingdom and yet have doubt. You can't do it. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. I don't know about you, but it's a pretty mournful place to be in. Fluctuating from side to side. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and let Him lift you up, and He shall lift you up. And then, you know, it goes on with instructions of how that looks. But the keys to the kingdom is understanding your place. And your place needs to be a place of absolute and total broken humility. It's the only thing you can bring to Him. To have feel like you're a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians, the civilized and the uncivilized, to the wise and the unwise. I owe you the truth. I owe you the gospel. Jesus bled on the cross to save your sorry heart because you couldn't do it, and even if you would do it, it didn't matter. You're covered in sin. You needed His blood's covering of your sin. He died for you so that you could receive Him, the gospel, and the truth. And it could change you from a hearer only to a doer. And in so doing, you tap into the blessings of seeking Him first and His righteousness. How much time do you spend hearing the Word? How much time do you spend with your brothers and sisters, exhorting one another, provoking one another to righteousness, loving one another when it's convenient and when it ain't? These are kingdom things. And it's available to all who will receive the truth. But it's not going to keep 1,600 people in a building to tell them that unless you hate your father, mother, sister, brother, yea, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. But that is the beginning of tapping in to the prosperity that seeking Him and His righteousness affords you. Everything you need to do, everything He wants you to do is at your disposal. Absolutely everything. How good is that? And it comes right down to God is not a jerk. How often do we have to say this? I'll say it as long as I've got breath. God is not a jerk. And what the only thing I can offer Him is a broken, contrite heart that says, I have screwed up, Lord, and I thank You for covering me. I thank You. I praise You. Now let it be profitable for somebody else when I tell them how good You've been for me.